This past week, a little more than a week ago, I was at the at the Costco, and I was shocked by what I saw. Panic buying, people were in a frenzy, they were cutting into line, they had their grocery carts stacked with 3 and 4 bundles of toilet paper. They had a second cart filled with canned goods. There was such a sense of fear. You look into people's faces and you wouldn't see a person, you'd simply see fear. And you can see that people's minds and their hearts are so overwhelmed by what's happening in our world today. And yet the Word of God says that He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And this morning I was reading in Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. And it's the reminder, the exhortation from Christ, where He says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. And the Greek word there for life is the word psuche. And it means your temporal life. It means the things that affect us day by day. And He goes on to detail what those things are. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear. And in that particular text, He says the reason that we don't worry about those things, our temporal life, is because of who our Father is, number one. And then the second thing is because of who our family is. And then the third thing is because of our future. We have a Heavenly Father who knows what we need. We have a family, a forever family, because of our adoption through the Spirit of Christ. And we have a future that's guaranteed because of Christ's death and resurrection. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So we extinguish that anxiety and fear by seeking the Lord, seeking Him, seeking the things that magnify Him, that being obedient to Him. That is key in terms of extinguishing that anxiety that wants to dominate our thinking. For He has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. So I just want to say this, is that when hard times hit, and we're in those times right now, we desperately need God's peace to anchor us. And we don't have an anchor with God's peace, we're going to drift. Our mind or emotions are going to take us into places where we really don't want to go. And scrolling through your newsfeed is creating anxiety, and there's so much bad news on the television. And everywhere you go, everyone's talking about it. Let's look at God's gift of peace. And there's three truths about God's peace that I want to share with you today. The first is God is the source of peace. Number one, God is the source of peace. And I think this is important for us to realize that peace is a person, not a circumstance. In fact, one of God's names is Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. Shalom is the Hebrew word for peace in the Old Testament, and it encompasses much more than our word for peace. Our English word is limited in terms of what it describes, but shalom means wholeness, soundness, health, peace, and it includes a sense of well-being, spiritual prosperity, and permanence. We have peace not when there's no difficulty, but when God is present with us in the difficulty. So number one, God is the source of peace. Peace is a person, not a circumstance. Number two, God intends peace for us. Peace is a gift of God. It's one of the blessings that He lavishes on us as His children. In the Old Testament, God instructed the priests to continually speak His blessing, or this blessing over the children of Israel, to remind them of His grace and peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord turn His face toward you, and the Lord give you peace. So the second truth about God's peace is that God intends peace for us. It's part of His legacy. It's part of our inheritance. It's what He desires for us. Number three, God's peace supersedes hard times. When the boat carrying Jesus and His apostles was caught in a dangerous Galilean storm. Remember that portion of scripture? Jesus commanded the waves peace, be still. And immediately the wind and water were calm. And I want to read that text to you this morning. It's from Mark chapter 5, verse 35. And it says, on that day when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boats, just as he was, and other boats were with him. Now, what had been happening is Jesus was teaching, he was healing, and there was a huge crowd of people that was crushing in upon him, and he needed a break. He was exhausted. They were on the west shore of Galilee, and he said, let's go over to the east shore. The west shore had large cities. The west shore, or the east shore, had very little in terms of population. So leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boats, just as he was, and other boats were with him. So there was a little flotilla of boats. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care? We are perishing. And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. He actually silenced the wind and the waves. It says, immediately the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? They became very much afraid and said to one another, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? This portion of scripture demonstrates Jesus' ultimate and supreme power over the natural world. And as we're facing a pandemic, we need to draw our hope and our confidence from a God who is sovereign. God is totally in charge of everything that's happened. I don't believe that God caused this horrific pandemic, but he has allowed it to occur, and he is using it for his purposes. And I believe that God is doing a reset in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls around the globe. It's a chance for them to begin to look up. When you see that all of your creature comforts, your money, your career, all the things that entertain you, and the places you love to travel, when they're all taken away, there's only one place to look, and that's to look up to the Lord. We see the power of Christ at work when he tells the seas to be calm. The disciples were fearful. They were fearful of the storm. The Sea of Galilee is 690 feet below sea level, surrounded by hills and mountains. And that body of water is very subject to storms. And these were seasoned sailors and fishermen. But this storm was unique, because a whirlwind or a storm of hurricane force rose with such ferocity that they feared for their very lives. And Jesus rebuked them and challenged them to say, where's your faith? Where's your faith? And we know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The scripture says, whatever is not of faith is sin. So we need to have a faith checkup from time to time and confess those things that contribute to our anxiety, whatever it is, whether it's family, whether it's health, whether it's finances, whether it's toilet paper, whatever it is, we need to be able to bring it before the Lord and confess the anxiety is there and ask him to bolster our faith, remembering that the God who calms the storm is the one who calms his child. So what's more frightening than having a storm outside the boat? It's having the God of all creation inside the boat. And they said, who is this? Who is this? And it says they became very afraid. But not the kind of fear that says, I'm worried about personal harm, but the kind of fear that reverences who God is and honors him for who he is and understands his power, his might, his sovereignty. Well, let me say this. The biblical peace doesn't mean we're promised a forever calm life. Back in the book of Job, I remember, I think it was one of Job's counselors, Eliphaz, maybe, I think it was Job 3, said, as the sparks fly upward, so man is born for trouble. It's part of our human situation, isn't it? And all of us are facing a storm right now. Jesus suffered incredibly, and so did every apostle who followed him. but God's peace ensures that he will either calm the storm or calm us through the storm. You see, God's peace is a gift that supersedes pain and difficulty. And when the news is feeding fear and anxiety, we don't have to stir up peace for ourselves. We simply enter into the rest that God provides. So here's what I'd recommend is that you reset your hearts with verses on God's peace. Meditate on the peace we have in Christ, or find a list of scriptures that deal with peace. There's one of my favorites that says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful." There's some wonderful Psalms. Psalm 4:8 comes to mind. It says, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." Or Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give this peace as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." And then John 16:33, "I told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." John 16:33. Now, I think of an illustration from Scripture, and it's in Luke 10, and it describes the dinner party that Martha and Mary were holding at their home for Jesus and some of the disciples. Martha was busy in the kitchen. She was cooking and cleaning and preparing a feast. And she was getting frustrated because Mary was not available to help her. In a fit of frustration, she came out and spoke to Jesus and saying, "Master, don't you care? I'm working my fingers to the bone. It's hot in the kitchen and I need a little help." And Jesus spoke to Martha tenderly but firmly and said, "Martha, you know what? You are worried about too many things. As for Mary, she has chosen the better part." So we see a contrast here. We see one woman who is consumed with current concerns about temporal things, and we see another woman who is concerned about spiritual nourishment. And Jesus said, this is what one needs in times of difficulty and trial and trouble, is spiritual nourishment. So my encouragement to you today is to seek the Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that you're concerned about will be provided. The scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And a wonderful promise I want to leave with you this morning from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all." Let me pray for a moment. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of Jesus, who taught his disciples how to trust in the midst of every trial and every storm. And I remember that verse in John 14, verses 1 through 3, where Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in me, believe also in God, for in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Lord, help us to be comforted with these words, and help us to know that you are sovereign over every storm, every trial, and every pandemic. Thank you for this precious family of God. We love them so much. We ask your blessing upon them and your strengthening and your peace and your protection. Thank you again for this opportunity for us to worship and fellowship together. In Jesus' name, amen.